Blog Talk Radio.
And we're back. It is 2014, and we are resuming our regularly scheduled broadcast of This Week in Health Innovation. Welcome, everyone. I'm Greg Masters. I'm your co-host and producer of the show, and joining me from Northern California is my partner and inspiration for what we do here, Dr. Pat Salver. Pat, are you with us?
I am, and I want to wish everybody a Happy New Year. Hard to believe it's 2014 already.
I know. It's amazing. So we have a really exciting session for you today, and it comes on the heels of Pat and I spent last week with Tammy and Helena at the CES 2014 in Las Vegas. It was just an incredible event. And before we kick it over to our guest and tell you who we're speaking with, Pat, what were your high-level key takeaways from CES and what we might talk about in some broadcasts to come?
Sure. Well, you know, the technology was amazing. So it wasn't just the digital health area or other areas on the exhibit floor that were related to health, but the consumer-oriented goods, particularly the LG booth with its mega 3D screen that had everybody standing in front of it with their 3D glasses and their mouth hanging open. So pretty amazing.
Gawking. In fact, when I left the theater, I said, wow, I would have paid for that.
Yeah, I know. It was amazing. From the health point of view, though, I have to say I was a little bit disappointed. You know, maybe I'd missed some booths, but it really seemed to me that it was all about wearables and trackables. And, you know, as a physician who sees all of the incredible problems that we have to solve, I'd really love to have seen more stuff aimed at solutions for chronic illness and, you know, other kinds of complex problems that are facing the healthcare system and, you know, that patients are trying to deal with.
Right, right. Couple good articles on this hype versus hope of digital health we can talk about later. So with that, let's pivot to our guest, and I'll very briefly tell you about him. His name is Rafael Grossman. He's an MD and fellow of the American College of Surgeons. You can follow him at Twitter via the handle @ZGJR. Dr. Grossman is a general trauma and advanced laparoscopic surgeon who believes using wearable and mobile technology like Google Glass and iPhone offers better patient care and save lives. So we'll hear about that today. With that as a quick introduction, Pat, over to you. Help us to get to know Dr. Grossman.
Sure. Well, welcome, Rafael. I did have a chance to watch your TEDx presentation that you gave with your Google glasses on, and I have to say that, you know, one of the things, in addition to wearables, that I noticed at this year's CES were how many people were walking around with Google glasses on. So I was hoping that you could share with us some of your vision about how this new technology, together with the emerging technologies that are going to be developed for Google Glass, how you see them fitting into a surgical practice with respect to improved patient care, in particular patient safety.
Well, thanks for having me, Greg and Pat. I really believe that Google Glass and equivalent wearable technologies in the future certainly have a great potential to improve the way we care for patients, not just in the surgical field, but in general for healthcare. I think that a wearable technology, and especially as you could appreciate in my brief TEDx talks, two of them that had like different angles on this approach, Glass really offers an improved connection between providers, improved connectivity between providers and patients. And I think that it makes us more aware of things that could be potentially harmful for patients. We know that the medical errors have a real toll on patients and patient care, and I think that technology that improves communication and connectivity between providers and between providers and the medical record, the electronic medical record, has certainly the potential to cause a great positive impact.
And so could you give us a few examples, specific examples of how you see Google Glass playing a role in surgical patient safety? I think you talked about checklists, which we all know from Atul Gawande's checklist manifesto. How can Google Glass help with the implementation of checklists?
Well, I think that having a wearable device like Google Glass and integrating that device into the medical record, and with the power of Google Glass to intuitively bring the information to you, just like you do in Google now when you use your smartphone, you can suddenly be alerted to a gauge change when you're going to catch a plane. Well, if we could have that pertinent information come to you, let the data come to you, when it's needed and when it is important to know the data, I think that is a clear benefit. Let's say you're going to give a drug and then you are alerted that the patient is allergic to that drug, or like you mentioned, just for checklists. If you can have the checklist intuitively brought from the chart to the user, to the surgeon. You see, the way electronic medical records work these days, and it is an improvement, but it's still the same way we did it with pen and paper, 50, 100 years ago. We still input the electronic information or the information into the electronic record, and that's what you get. I think that if you had a system with an artificial intelligence type system or deep learning system that would gather the appropriate points of important information and bring it to you without you even thinking about that, that would certainly help and potentially prevent the errors and potentially save lives.
And do you think there'll be a day when you have your Google Glass on, you're looking inside somebody's abdomen or thoracic cavity, and the glass can assess exactly where the bleeder is and guide you to it? Do you see that as, because in a way that to me is going beyond things that we had on pen and paper and sticking them in front of me via the Google Glass and actually taking us to a whole new level where the glass is providing us with brand new information, not information that we could have gotten in another way?
Absolutely. I really think that glass, Google Glass, being a sort of a computer in front of your eye, a smartphone in front of your eye, and with the potentials that it has, augmented reality is certainly something that will be part of it in the near future. I see myself as an innovator and a futurist, and I really believe that there's no reason why this type of device with some tweaking and improvement could do that. Not so much tell you where the bleeding is, but imagine if you could give an IV dye and then you could see a extravasating or lighting up an area of hypervascularity, of excess blood flow in a tumor in the liver, so that you could, through glass, just by looking at it, you could pick up the area that you need to resect. Or we do photodynamic therapy in the esophagus, where you shine a light inside the esophagus and certain areas will light up, and you know what areas to resect, what areas to take off, from the patient. I think that glass has the potential to do that. Facial recognition and image recognition with deep learning systems, it could help you potentially, just with a look, identify a tumor, identify a malignancy, or help you at least a classify or rule out certain diagnoses in the patient intra-abdominally or externally, like in dermatology, for example, looking at a lesion that you're not sure what it is. Well, having a database of millions of images and an artificial intelligence system that could, with one look, tell you exactly what that is without the need for doing a histopathologic diagnosis, I think that would be great.
Yeah, we're really getting into the future think here. At CES, we had a chance to look at a new technology called Evino, which is, are you familiar with that?
I've been following that closely.
Well, so it's very interesting because they use glass. They are in partnership with Epson. I think the technology was from Epson. And what this and what these glasses, they're separate from Google Glasses, a separate technology. What they allowed you to do was to actually see the vasculature. So for, you know, interns and residents, certainly learning how to put IVs in. I'm not sure if they still do put IVs in, but certainly that was, you know, one of the things that got my pulse going fast when I was in training. It allows you to actually see it. It allows you to see extravasation right before you even have swelling. But it's a separate technology, and I can't see doctors or nurses having Google Glass for some things and, you know, a Aveeno Glass for other things. Do you think or are you aware of any effort to start to consolidate some of these disparate technologies into one wearable?
You know, not that I'm specifically aware. That I know that a lot of people sort of network and communicate. I've reached out to Aveeno and other wearable devices out there in healthcare. I think that Aveeno is certainly a great example of a brilliant implementation of an idea to use the technology. And a big proponent of is not the technology, it's the idea behind the use of the technology that makes a difference. And I think that Aveeno, for medical education, it's a phenomenal tool. And then for treatment, for residents or providers, nurses or PAs, the doctors, to learn how to take an IV, how to do a central line, for example, rather than using an ultrasound, you could use a virtual reality or augmented reality type picture to see the vein before you enter it, so that you can miss it almost. I think that has a great potential.
Yeah, as somebody who trained in internal medicine and in my institution, UCSF, the internal jugular access point was considered the internal medicine access point, and the subclavian was considered the surgeons. And I remember having great angst, you know, over the IJ, because, you know, really it was a blind stick when you did it. If I had technology like a Aveeno or an Aveeno like thing into Google Glass, it would have at least decreased my angst, but I think also decreased some of the kind of complications that we saw. So,
absolutely.
Raphael, I want to ask you. So you're an innovator, you're a futurist, you are an early adopter of Google Glass. Are you involved in developing any apps for Google Glass? Are you a part of the you know, glass explorers and the innovators who are trying to figure out how to bring more applications and make the Google Glass more useful?
Yes, I'm a glass explorer. I'm one of the I think the early adapters and one of the early users. I got my glass very early on in June. Right after I got it, and I was pressing them to get it so I could go to Paris to give this conference, Doctors 2.0, and I wanted to give the first medical conference ever with glass, and I did at the very beginning of June. And since then, I've been involved with online healthcare, social media, Twitter, LinkedIn, Google+, connected with other explorers in the same general health area, and there's the very few surgeons who have glass, and trying to really put our minds together. And I'm not a developer per se as a programmer, because I don't do, unfortunately, programming or coding, but I've made the great contacts and have talked to a lot of people and shared ideas with a lot of people. I have no specific relationship, business relationship with any of them. What I really like the most is use my experience as a healthcare provider, and then my experience as an innovator, a futurist, and a sort of a dreamer of how technology can really make our lives and our patients' lives better. Use that experience in both ends to give it to whoever can use it, you know, in a way that would be helpful for patients.
So, you know, we've had this red-hot love affair with technology, I'd say, over the last, 2 to 3 years. And and a lot of it heated up about the time that Eric Koppel wrote his book. But now what I'm starting to see, and tell me if you're seeing this as well, people saying, whoa, maybe it isn't all about the technology. We still need the human factor in all of this. Are you starting to see that pop up in your conversations with other futurists and technologists?
Yeah, I have. And, you know, some of us, I think, have always put that first. I think that, you know, technology, again, is good, but it's the human touch, the idea behind the use of that technology that will improve what you do. That's kind of a point that I always like to talk about in regards to Google Glass specifically. You know, people, you know, started initially, and still some people, giving sort of negative connotations to glass users and the glass hole term, and then, you know, cyborgs, and you're going to really not be paying attention to your patients when you operate and when you see them in the office with Google Glass, and you're going to lose even more so the patient relation, the patient doctor relationship. I think it's completely the opposite. I think that a device like a glass can really improve the connection, the connectivity between a patient and provider. You've been to a doctor's office, or you've had many patients, and, you know, many times we kind of forget that the patient is there, and we focus on the electronic medical record and on the PC or the laptop or the tablet, and we many times turn our faces around even away from the patient to input data or to get data from the electronic platforms, and the patient is behind you. And I tell you, I think something like that, something that is wearable, something that allows you to keep that face-to-face conversation, the eye-to-eye connection with the patient, while you briefly look it up, can access important data and not turn away from the patient, I think that has a great potential to make that visit better and to make the patient feel more connected to the provider.
I think that's an excellent point. That we have seen a lot of complaints in the blogosphere and the Twittersphere from patients about how the visit is really talking to the doctor's back while he's clicking away on the keyboard.
Yeah.
His glass will allow you that face-to-face. But interestingly, and I don't know if you've seen this, lately I've been seeing people who are saying, hey, we've got to get docs away from being the data enterers, and there's a whole new industry growing up called scribes, medical scribes, whether you're using pre-meds or whether you're using, you know, other people that come in and they kind of trail around behind the doc, and they're the ones that do the inputting. Are you seeing that where you practice?
Well, unfortunately, you know, we don't have it. But, you know, I tell you, again, technology, you know, healthcare, social media is so amazing. In the last couple hours, I've been sort of getting ready for this talk a little bit, and I've been tweeting to some people all around the world, really, you know, from Europe, Amsterdam to the U.S. and Latin America, and you know, I the last step a few tweets away, I specifically made a mention to scribes and how wonderful it would be to think of Google Glass and wearable technology as a scribe, you know, as an adjunct to improving that patient-doctor relationship while you are in the visit, so that you don't have to look away from the patient, that you don't have to not hold that patient's arm or hand or touch their knee while you're talking to them and giving them confidence. I think that describes a concept is brilliant, but I think also that a concept of a wearable device like glass it will have the same result.
Now, so that's an interesting idea. So what you're suggesting is, as I'm doing my history and physical with the patient, that glass could somehow become the scribe and start to capture all that information itself, either by videoing the physical exam, if that was acceptable to the patient, or by somehow capturing by voice recognition the verbal interaction that we have. Are we getting close to that?
I think that there are a lot of places already that use voice recognition for inputting data in the chart, for dictation, basically, rather than...
For sure, they're using Dragon, right?
I'm sorry?
A lot of them are using Dragon. They're using Nuance technology.
Correct. The same. You know, the similar. That software or similar software, and you know, it's becoming more and more common. Where I am in Maine, you know, a few physicians, a few practices use that, and so people don't have to write anymore. We always dictate to transcribers or to a computer, to a software. And I think that in the future, there's no doubt in my mind that audio and video recording, you know, a virtual recreation of that visit will be the way to record everything, because there's no reason that we shouldn't do it that way, because it's easier, because it allows you to not focus on anything else but just getting the important information for the patient, from the patient, and connecting with the patient rather than having to write a little note or put something in the computer or remember everything that you see so that you can do it later. I have no doubt in my mind that a device like Glass will substitute. Initially, maybe an adjunct to something like that, but eventually substitute that type of system.
Well, that's pretty exciting. So I know that you're, you know, a leading edge person. You know, as a futurist, you're willing to try things before your colleagues are. What are you seeing in your day-to-day practice with your colleagues? Are they starting to embrace this technology, or are they, you know, I know with EHR, I've heard docs say, if you make me get one of those things, I'm going to quit my practice. What kind of attitudes are you seeing out there amongst the practicing surgical community?
Well, it's hard to tell. You know, I where I work, we are in a sort of very progressive hospital. You know, we cover a large area of Maine, and we have a great telemedicine program, 19 telemedical sites that we connect with by big cameras, and we actually have the potential to do that with a smartphone. And so there's a little bit of that culture of change, but at the same time, we should be way, way far ahead of where we are, and I think part of that is education and education of providers, more than education of patients, to embrace technologies that are groundbreaking, that are innovative. I haven't seen, in regards to what I do with Glass, for example, a lot of excitement yet, and you know, I've kept it as a thing that I kind of do on my own, because I really believe, but at the same time, we are working on projects currently to start using Glass in a clinical pathway very carefully. You know, you want to make sure that you follow all the regulations, and as you know, government regulations are pretty strict, pretty tough, and sometimes are a little bit, I don't want to say retrograde, but you know, they are not up to the speed of the development of the technology. More and more you see the FDA and other government entities adapting themselves to technology, to the use of apps, for example, for medical care, and the regulation and approval of apps for medical use. I think that's coming, but I think that we're very slow to adopt anything like this, and I think that I don't see any great wave of interest very soon to be embraced by providers in general or by surgeons. More and more, as the generations get younger, I think that will be part of their way they grow up with. And I think that programs like this and healthcare social media and TEDx, TED conference, and any sort of way that you can preach about this is the way that you get the word out and you get people interested. And I think that is really from the bottom up, you know, when regular folks are made aware of technologies like this, then they'll be demanding this technology and the change will happen faster, I think.
Yeah, so it sounds like you're saying, just like everything in medicine, it takes longer than we would like to make the changes, and part of it is, you know, a generational thing, but the demand by patients as this technology gets diffused throughout society may make it go a little bit faster. So, Raphael, I wanted to close. What I really like to do when I talk to innovators like yourself is to learn a little bit about you and your pathway. So you're Venezuelan, I understand. What is your what has been your journey from Venezuela to Maine, from non-surgeon to surgeon and Google Glass person?
Well, one of my TEDx talks, the one from Bermuda recently in November, it tells a little bit about that. But I'm from Venezuela. I was born, raised, and went to medical school in Caracas, Venezuela, which is where all my family and my wife's family is. And we moved to Michigan, to Ann Arbor, Michigan, where I did my residency. I was there for 7 years. I was training in surgery. My wife was doing her master's. And, after that, we went back home to Venezuela. It was already almost 8 years later, and the country was very different than the country we had left 8 years before. So we tried to make it there. I was there for almost 3 years doing my best and trying my best to do what I was trained to do. But, the situation in many fronts was very different, and having kids and everything, we made the decision to come back to the States, where the opportunities to develop our potential was much better than
and such a bit better weather too, right?
Well, we do like the snow, but yeah, you're right. The weather that was a hard thing to, family was the first thing to obviously be sorry about not having close by, but the weather, sometimes you dream about that.
Yeah, but, all the time sunshine to all the time snow.
Yeah. But, we decided to come to the Northeast and looked around in a few places, and we're lucky and blessed to have found Maine. And, have been here almost 10 and a half years now, and I tell you, it couldn't have been better. Our kids have been raised here, and this is a great place to raise a family. The place where I work is a great place where I could develop my and have been developing my potential, and it's a platform for me to reach out to the world, to a global audience, which is what I like to do. I like to always looking for conferences and places to go preach about what I believe is going to make healthcare better, which is technology and innovation in technology. So.
So in addition to being a Google Glass leading-edge explorer and a surgeon, you're also an evangelist, and that's really fantastic. Well, Rafael, I've really enjoyed our time together. I can't believe how fast it zipped by. I want to close by giving you an opportunity to say, as a futurist, how do you think practice of surgery is going to be 5 years from now and 10 years from now, and on that will end?
Well, I think that obviously all of those are hard to predict. I think technology grows exponentially, but I think that within the next 3 to 5 years, I can see mobile health and wearable mm-hmm. devices to be really a part of our daily routines. And I think and I hope that in general for healthcare, especially for medical records, we'll be able to integrate medical records into wearable devices, which will go around as we go around to care for patients in a direct way without having to depend on portable, hands-on devices like we do now.
Well, in this year where we've implemented or started implementing the ACA and calling that health reform, it's really refreshing to talk to somebody who's doing hands on the ground or scalpel in hand, real health reform. Thank you very much, Rafael, for a wonderful conversation and all that you do.
Thank you, Pat and Greg. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
And there you have it. That'll have to be the last word. You've been listening to This Week in Health Innovation with our co-host, Dr. Pat Salver, and we've been chatting with Dr. Rafael Grossman from the great state of Maine. And we've been chatting about Google Glass and clinical apps. Listen next week as we have another in our scheduled program. We do not have it titled yet, but join us at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. This is Greg Masters saying bye now from This Week in Health Innovation.